Okay, we're going to be back in Mark's Gospel this evening. We're going to Mark chapter number 11, a few chapters on from where we were this morning. Mark's Gospel chapter number 11. We're going to be reading verses 27 down to verse 23 to the end of that chapter. Mark's Gospel chapter number 11 and verse number 27. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And they said unto him, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven? Or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people. For all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answered and saith unto them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. And that's just pause for a word of prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for again the day that you've given us, understanding that it is a gift of grace each day that we have. So I thank you, Lord, for each head bowed, for each one that is gathered in your house this evening to sing wonderful words of worship. But Lord, now as we open your word, your all authoritative, all searching word, Lord, we pray that each one would open their hearts to what you have to say. Lord, I ask you would help me. Help me to say what you would have me to say. Lord, as we look at this issue of authority, the issue that underpins every problem in life, everything really boils down to the question of who is the authority in our lives. Is it you, Lord? I pray before this evening is done that each one of us will come to the place that we surrender to your authority, full and finally, that you may have your way in us. So speak to us this evening, Lord Jesus. Through your Holy Spirit, teach us, enable us and equip us to be the saints of God that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was putting this sermon together and just reading the little account of what's going on, it reminded me of a film. Now, just a caveat, I'm not endorsing this film. It's a long time ago since I've seen it. So, you know, if you rush out and see it and there's some bad language in or anything, don't say, oh, that pastor sent me to see this. But there's a film called A Few Good Men. Has anybody ever seen A Few Good Men? Yes, there's some non-Christians in it. I'm only joking. But it reminded me of this film. Now, when I was thinking about this film also, you ever do this thing where you think, oh, that film's only about 10-year-olds. It's only about 10 years ago that film was out. And I was looking at it, in 1992 this film came out. That's when you realise you're old. You know, in my mind, I'm stuck that 10 years ago was 1990. It's really not. Anyway, 1992, this is a film, and it has Jack Nicholson in it, and it has Tom Cruise in it. And it's an army kind of courtroom drama thing. And basically, Jack Nicholson's in the stand, and he's been cross-examined by the lawyer. And Tom Cruise is the lawyer. And Tom Cruise is pushing Jack Nicholson to get to the truth. He wants him really to give up what he's done because he's committed a terrible crime and covered it up. And he's pushing him and pushing him. And Jack Nicholson's in the defense box. And he says to the lawyer, you know, do you want the truth? And the lawyer says, yes, I want the truth. Tom Cruise says, I want the truth. And Jack Nicholson says that famous line, you can't handle the truth. Now, when I thought about these Pharisees, these scribes, this religious establishment that had come time and time again to harass Jesus, to trip him up, to try and disprove his credentials to be the mighty Messiah, the promised one of Israel. They come time and time again and they got the truth, but the reality of the matter is, and this is what we'll see from our passage this evening, when Jesus presented them with the truth, they couldn't handle the truth. Because the truth that he presented was a truth too far for them. It was a truth too far. Because it really boiled down to the issue of authority. And what it was, really and simply was, if Jesus was from God and everything he said was from the Heavenly Father indeed, then everything that they'd been teaching, remember Jesus came and he turned it on its head. They were the religious authority. So it was a battle. Is it going to be this man and his authority, or is it our authority? And that's the watershed issue for today, folks. Categorically it is, up and down the land. It's the issue of the authority of the Word of God. That's the issue. Is it sufficient? You know, we have a battle to face with people that will deny God. We get that. But there are a lot of Christians that will accept God, but will not accept the authority of His Word. I mean, it's an epidemic of proportions. It really is. You know, to preach the Bible the way that I know Pastor Moore does and the way that we preach in our, we just, you know, it's simply what God says, I take it. And that's it. Because I know that God's the authority and it doesn't really matter what I particularly think about something. It doesn't really matter what particularly my opinion on marriage is, or my opinion on women in the pulpit ministry. It doesn't matter what I think. Because God has to be the authority. Otherwise He's not God. And in our passage this morning, we have this highlighted, this issue of authority. And again, the religious establishment have came time and time again to trip Jesus up, to knock him down, to really bring him under their authority. Because they couldn't take the truth that he was presenting. That they were wrong, and he was right, and actually he was God's son. See, that was a truth too far for them. So let's get into the narrative this evening and look at this encounter and how Jesus masterfully, once again, absolutely masterfully, deals with these people. It's just beautiful how Jesus deals with them. Master. So let's begin with the question of authority. We read that in verses 27 and 28. It says, they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Another passage in Luke, I believe, tells us that he was teaching. Jesus was teaching in the temple. Now, just what's happened in the previous day is Jesus has come in for the second time and upturned the money changers. Tables. He's really just set the cat amongst the pigeons, so to speak, in the temple. But hereafter, he's teaching. And he's walking along teaching. Now, and he has people at his side. Can you imagine that? Just put yourself there. To be walking with Jesus there, just teaching, dropping these theology bombs on you. Like, wow, that's good stuff. Hearing from his word, walking beside him. Would you like to do that? Yeah, some people, yes. Some people, not so much. But would you like to walk with Jesus and have Jesus teach you? You know you can do that, right? You know you can do that. You know that you can walk with the Word of God by His side. Everybody has to say. You can do that. It's there. It's up to you. But here Jesus, he's teaching. And along come the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now, if you were here this morning, do you remember we looked at Mark? Let's go back there for those that weren't. In Mark chapter number 8 and verse 31, where Jesus had, for the first time, taught the disciples after Peter's confession that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus says, I'm going to die. Verse 31 of Mark 8. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders, chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed after 3 days, rise again. Back into Mark 11, verse number 27, who do we find? the chief priests, the scribes and the elders. This is the beginning of the fulfillment of what Jesus said in Mark 8. The time is at hand. He is moving towards the cross here. And here they come. This is the full force of the religious establishment. This is like everybody of the top brass gets together. This upstart has run rampage throughout Galilee, throughout Capernaum. He's been into Gadara and the Decapolis. He's been all over, and every time we've sent different ones from that area to deal with him, he's just blown their mind by his teaching, or he's blown their mind by his answers and his miracles and the things that he did. And we get here to this point, and they all come, and no doubt this is the top brass. Have you ever had the Jehovah's Witnesses at your door? And, you engage and you talk to them about your faith, and very quickly, if you know your Bible, then you have them in a spin, and they go away, and then they send in the reinforcements. And then when you deal with that, you finally get to the whoever what the bigwig is to come. And if he can't deal with you, that's it. But this is the bigwigs coming in to deal with Jesus. And they say to him, verse number 28, by what authority doest thou these things? Who giveth thee this authority to do these things? That word is authority is exousia. It's translated power in other verses in Scripture. So, you know, by what power do you do these things? By what authority do you do these things? Now, this is the full force of the religious establishment. And they were the gatekeepers of the law. They were the authority. They determined who could talk about God. They determined who could become a rabbi. They determined who could teach. But Jesus didn't go through their system. In fact, he was opposed to their system in a lot of ways. So they come along and say, you know, who's ordained you? Who's given you the authority to say what you say? Who do you think you are? Is what they're saying. The things you teach, the things you say, they're not the same as the things that we teach. They're not the same as the things as we say. And we're the authority. Who are you? Where's your qualification? Where's your certificate? Where's your stamp? By the mainstream. To preach what you preach. Say what you say. And do what you do. We're the keepers of the law. We're the authority. And we haven't given you the authority. So you're not qualified to say what you say and do what you do. It's an issue of authority. And this is where the rubber hits the road. The simple truth. The chief priests, the scribes and the elders are representative of humanistic authority. Dressed up in a religious guise, whatever it is, but it's humanism. And on the other side, we have God and his authority, his full and final authority. And we look at that issue then, and as I've started out this saying, this is the watershed issue for today. Who is the authority? Is it God or is it man? That's it. There is no halfway house. It's not like there's a spectrum. You know, in the church years today, there's been this spectrum invented of authoritative truth. And it's like God at this side on one side, and at the other side, in the far-flung side, it's man's authority. So you've got God's authority there, and you've got man's authority there. And when it comes to the issues of salvation, we're happy enough that it's God's authority, and the pendulum swings all the way there. But when it comes to some other things, like how we're to live, our relationships, the issue of love, then it swings back to towards man's authority. Or if it's women in ministry, in terms of preaching ministry, and you may disagree with me on that, and you're free to do so, but I know what the Word of God says. But we've adopted this, oh, let's swing it in the middle. Let's have a little bit of God's authority, but a little bit of man's opinion, a man's tradition, and we'll put it in this middle road. And what you get then is a swinging pendulum, a swinging spectrum of who's the authority. There can only ever be one authority. It's either God or it's not. He can't be half an authority. He can't be a temporary authority. He can't be sometimes right and sometimes wrong.
Because then he's not God and he's no authority at all. And if God's not God, then man is the authority. But today we've got this optional thing. It's optional and it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. Only today. Went to Paul's for lunch. And Songs of Praise was on. And within 10 minutes, out had been paraded this same-sex couple who under the United Reformed Church had got married and were there on this platform for Christianity telling everybody that this is the modern way and that actually they're accepted in their faith community and they can come and worship and you know, there was others that rejected them, but now they have a place where they've been accepted and they can do what they want to do and be who they want to be. That's Songs of Praise. Paul said to me it was the same last week. This agenda. What's the problem there? Is it about those people? No. It's about who's the authority. Is it God or is it man? Because this wishy-washy in between, you can't have it. It's got to be all God or all man. It can't be, oh, we don't like this about God, so we'll take the authority in this. We can't do it. It's an issue of authority, and this was the issue all the way back then. So these scribes, Pharisees, and elders, the chief priests, they come along and they say to Jesus, given this question of authority, where's your authority come from? This radical stuff you're teaching, it's not in line with what we're teaching. Where's your authority come from? In response to their challenge, Jesus massively responds with this question of acknowledgement. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. And this is brilliant. This is brilliant. Most people, when they come to challenge your faith, are being very confrontational. They have an agenda. They have an axe to grind. They're there to trip you up. They're not. Some people are generally seeking truth, but a lot of people are there with a loaded question. And if you follow Jesus, and a lot of these questions from the religious Jews of that day, a lot of the times when they come along with a loaded question, Jesus doesn't just answer them like he's beholden to them. A lot of the times he'll turn it around, and he'll ask them a question. Now that is a fantastic tip for evangelism. Somebody comes along and says to you, what about all the evil in the world? Where's your God? And so, you know, in the back of it, you want to defend the sovereignty of God and that. Well, you know, what about saying, well, why do you think there's evil in the world? Because now you've took their question, you've disarmed it, and you've put it back at them. Why do you think there's so much suffering? Jesus was a master at this. Master. So instead of answering their question straight away, he says, I'm going to ask you one question, and if you answer me that question, then I'll answer you. So he says, verse 30, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? I like this bit. Answer me. Answer me. You see, here Jesus brings the comparison in with John the Baptist. He points him to John. Remember, John's baptism was one of repentance. That was the message that he was preaching. He preached about the one to come. He preached about the coming kingdom. And Jesus, in the first phase of his ministry, if you turn with me to Mark chapter number 1, that's the message he preached. The gospel of the kingdom. Mark chapter number 1. Verse 15. Now we know John preached the message of repentance, baptism of repentance. We know John preached the kingdom was at hand. But Jesus also preached that in the first phase of his ministry. Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 15. And saying, this is Jesus, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So John's message and Jesus' message, certainly for the first half of his ministry, was the same message. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. So the message was of the same substance as John's, and Jesus points them to this. puts him on the spot a little. And the thing was, that they had borne witness to Jesus' ministry over that 3.5 year period. They'd seen John's, but they'd also seen Jesus. And Jesus demonstrated his authority in a far greater way than John ever did. Far greater way. You know, Jesus had authority over nature, if you remember in Mark 4 and verse number 35 on there, where the storm was stilled. If you know that account, where Jesus rebukes the wind. He stops the wind. Displays his authority, his power over nature. And in Mark 5, he shows his authority over the demonic world. In Mark 5, verses 1 to 8, where we have the demoniac of Gadara, where no man could fix the problem. But Jesus showed his authority over the demons. Then he showed his authority over disease in Mark 5 and verse number 22 on there, where we have the woman with the issue of the blood. Jesus demonstrated his authority over disease. And then in the same passage, he demonstrated his authority over death when he raised Jairus' daughter. So Jesus did all these things. This was public knowledge. This would have been talked about. This would have been witnessed firsthand. So he did all these miracles. And if the message was the same as John, what about the ministry? Did John have the miracles that Jesus did? No. Turn to John, chapter number 10. This is an important thing. You know, some will say that this type of ministry is normative today. And if you're not doing this, you're kind of missing out. That's not necessarily the case. John chapter number 10, verse 39. Therefore they sought to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan. This is Jesus, into a place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and John did no miracle. But all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. John did no miracle. And if you know what Jesus said about John the Baptist, greatest in the kingdom, he didn't do any miracles. So he had the same message, but Jesus took it up another level and demonstrated his authority time and time again. Like I've said, over nature, over death, over disease, over the demonic realm. He did miracle after miracle. John never did a miracle. The message was the same, but the power and the authority was on another level with the Lord Jesus Christ. And John, he affirmed the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. So if John's message was from God, then Jesus' message was surely from God. That was the evidence that they had been presented with. It was overwhelming. That Jesus was the Messiah. That his authority was from the Father's hand. But the Pharisees, the religious groups, did not want to acknowledge that. Even though time and time again, they have been presented with that truth. They didn't want to acknowledge it because it was a truth too far. Because to acknowledge that truth was to let go of their authority and rest in God's authority. And that was too far for these people. Which really brings us to our next point, which is a question of acceptance. Verse 31 of Mark 11. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John, that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. So really Jesus is backing them in their corner. He knows their heart. He knows what they're up to. He knows what they're at. And he has skillfully and masterly put them in a position where they're in a catch-22. They had nowhere to go. They couldn't bring themselves to say that John was from heaven, because they knew by extension that would mean Jesus was definitely from heaven. They didn't want to speak against John because John had popularity, posthumous popularity among the people. as a prophet. He was revered, and they knew they would upset the people. And this really brings us to the heart of what these men were about. They were people pleasers, either themselves or those they wanted control over, those they wanted to milk and exhort and run the roost over. They didn't want to upset them. So they're in this position. They can't speak out. And really and truly, it shows that they weren't interested in truth. They didn't really care. They didn't come asking Jesus to provide his credentials. And then when he did, accept them and go their way. No, no, that was the truth too far. And because of the hardness of their hearts, because of their rejection, after all they've seen of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. You see, they said, we cannot tell. But that wasn't the truth. That wasn't the truth. That was a cop-out. That was a cop-out. Jesus refused to engage in them. Remember he said at the start, if you answer me, I'll answer you. But they don't want to answer. They don't want to speak the truth. So they say, we don't know. What a cop-out that is. So Jesus rightly says, you are not going to get an answer from me. Because you're not giving me the truth. You know what the application here is? But Jesus wouldn't elaborate on his authority. Because remember, he presented it all the way through. It was simple and clear for those that didn't have the hardened hearts that his authority was from God, that he was the Messiah. And here he doesn't give them any more. And what I want to say to you this evening is the great truth that's revealed to us here is simply this. God will not reveal more truth to you unless you accept the truth you're already given. There's many that want the deep things of God. They want this relationship with God that other Christians have. You know the people that come into the room and, you know, they know their Bible and they know the Lord and you can see the Lord in them. And you can see Christ in them. And people look at that and say, I want that. But they don't understand that that is a life relationship that has been cultivated by obeying the Lord and trusting the Lord and walking with Him. And actually, when you get the truth, the basic truth is listening to that and accepting that and actioning that. And then God reveals more truth to you. And you walk in that and on it goes. And then you get to this place, Lord, look on and go, I want that. But the problem is people come in and they want to skip all that. They want the big truth. The deep truth. God says you're not walking in the basic truth. Why would I reveal more about myself to you when you haven't accepted what I've already showed you? God won't reveal more truth if the truth already given hasn't been accepted. And the truth already given had not been accepted by the religious establishment. They had nowhere to go. It was clear that Jesus was the authority. He was from God. He was ordained from on high. He was anointed. He was the Messiah. And actually, their man-made traditions and legalism was all about their own authority. But that was a truth too far. And the wider meaning of this little exchange can't help speak to us this evening, I think, in terms of where we are today as a church. Like I've said, with this issue of authority. And I can only speak from where I am in Spalding, where there's an issue brewing with same-sex marriage. Now, I'm not just targeting that. There's other issues, but this is the predominant one, I think, within Christendom. We're in a position where there's now churches within that town, for the very first time, who are openly looking towards same-sex marriage. And that's causing a bit of a concern amongst those that are already in bed with those churches. It's part of the Church of the Galilee movement. And they're starting to think, well, what's going on here? Where do we step off? How far do we go with this or whatever? But this issue is bubbling along. And here's the thing. I read on Facebook, and this is... I don't generally respond to things on Facebook and public forums because I don't think it's edifying to anybody, generally. So I didn't. But I read this. And it was an article from one of the ministers in Spalding who had written about, in positive terms, how he can't wait to marry same-sex couples, you know, how the world's moved on and it's great and all this sort of stuff. So, you know, he's read all this. That's his article. And you know, then in the comments, there was a comment from somebody that said, this minister, named his name, said, is a great man of God who's shown strength and courage to move on. And the other leaders in the time should follow his example. Now, I wanted to type something, and I didn't. But here's the thing. It just reminded me of what it was. Who is the authority? For that person making that comment, that minister was the authority. And the other ministers in the town are being urged to follow in that authority. He's a great man of God. No, he's a great man of the people. Because that's what the people want. But what about the Lord? What does he say? And that's it. So it boils down to this question of authority. Are we going to accept the Word of God, whatever it says, wherever it takes us? Or are we going to curtail the popular opinion and follow man? No new issue under the sun. This is what was happening all those years ago. This simple issue of authority. Now, when we relate this to ourselves and we think about authority, you know, how do you demonstrate the God's authority in your life? Because that's easy to say. Oh yes, God's my authority. But how is that demonstrated? Well, for me, it's demonstrated firstly in trust. You know, if God's really the authority, he can be trusted. And if he can be trusted, then I'm going to obey what he has for me. So trust and obedience, they're tied in. Oh, I trust you, I'm not going to obey you. Oh, you're the authority, I'm not going to obey you. It doesn't work. It doesn't count. They have to go hand in hand. So the question I want to ask each and every one of us this evening is, who is the authority in our life? Turn with me. If you have a Bible, please turn with me. We're going to close 2 Timothy. Second Timothy. Is this water fresh? Has it been here for 4 weeks? I don't know. No, 3 weeks. Right. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. I want you to all get there. Now, we're going to read this. All Scripture... Now, Pastor Moore is very clear on this, and by extension, because I've had it drummed into me so many times, and very clear. All means all, and that's all that all means. Anybody want to disagree with that? Are we happy that all means all? Okay, we can continue. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Theonoustos, God breathed. Breath of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man... brackets or woman, just to be friendly, of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Do you believe that? Me and you believe it, Liam. That's very good. I'll see you in heaven. Do we believe that? Do you believe it? Right, okay. John 17. Good. John 17:17.
John 17:17. Do we believe this?
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Do we believe that?
So we believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, that is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, complete. We believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is true. We believe that the Bible is the word of God. We believe that it's truth. But here's the question. Do we trust it? Do we obey it? Because that's the demonstration of I believe that. So do you trust? Do you obey? Is the word of God your filter for life? Now, I'm not sitting up here saying that I get this right all the time. I don't. But it's a question. Because if God's really the authority, if he's really and truly the authority, you're going to trust and obey. For there's no greater way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Because when you do that, what effectively you're doing and saying to the Lord is, you are my authority. But when we drift from that and start to put man's opinion in, we move away from saying God's the authority, and we get to a place where man has a say in the authority and the truth. You see these men that confronted Jesus all those years ago in Mark 11. They thought they were the gatekeepers of the truth. But really they were the gatekeepers of tradition. And when they were presented by the truth that Jesus was the Messiah, all the things that he did, many, many, many miracles, presented with that truth, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But the Jews thought they were the gatekeepers to the way to God. And the truth that Jesus was the one was a truth too far. Because to accept that truth meant that they had to accept his authority, and by extension they had to trust him, and by extension they had to obey him. That was the truth too far. They wouldn't let go of their authority. So here's the question. And I'm done. Who is your authority this evening? Is it God or is it man? You've got to make a choice. You've got to make a decision. Because you can't mix and match the two. I pray that that's not a truth too far from you. I pray that that's not a truth that's too hard for you. Because, folks, that's where the life is, that's where the joy is, and that's where the Lord Jesus Christ is. Let's pray.